Our lesson for this morning is recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 20th chapter. And here St. Paul is addressing the pastors of the city of Ephesus before he departs. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. My daughter was just about to babysit for the first time a young girl who was a member of the congregation where I was serving. And when she arrived at the house, the young girl came up to her and said, "What is it like to live with Jesus?" And my daughter's response was, "Yeah, right." A pastor, a friend of mine, was talking to a group of teenagers in his church one day, and they were discussing who in her high school class might someday go on to be a pastor. And she said, "Well, nobody in my class, because they all have sin." And her pastor leaned in and said, "Well, where do you think pastors come from?" God desires that we have pastors, overseers of our souls, to take care of us. And he has established the pastoral office to watch over us. St. Paul wrote to Titus that he should appoint elders, bishops, pastors in every city. And so these local shepherds take care of us in our congregations. The text before us has the same concept. Paul says to these men, "God has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." And our Lord selects under-shepherds beneath himself who need his care and oversight just as much as the sheep they serve. God didn't decide to choose angels to do this. He didn't decide to create some new creature that would rise up to take care of this work, but rather he picks out fellow sinful sheep right from the flock and has them do this work. Imagine if there was a surgeon, a very good surgeon, who had now been diagnosed himself with cancer. But he also now has to go and perform surgery on somebody else who has cancer, maybe even at a lesser stage than he has. The medical knowledge and the gifts that he have are what matter at that time, despite the health problems that he has. But those gifts and those tools that he uses and that knowledge that he has is really all that matters to the patient whom he serves. The pastors who serve you with the means of grace in the church of God, those means of grace are what are beneficial to you. And it's not any particular intrinsic quality in the man himself, the pastor himself, but it's rather the word and sacrament that is used to care for your soul. Now, God doesn't want anyone caring for your soul and assuming the position of being a pastor who has not, first of all, cared for his own soul. Despite how brilliant he might be, despite how talented and accomplished he might be. Recently, one of our recent graduates this past fall sent me an email to check out a blog website. It's for atheists. And there's a Lutheran pastor who writes on there frequently and claims that he is a closet atheist while serving his congregation. It's hard to imagine that is beneficial for his sheep. A man that used to serve on this campus as a professor said this once, "Where the great mother love of the gospel does not move the heart of the shepherd, there the sheep will be poorly watched." And that's why St. Paul says to the pastors in our text, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Take heed to yourselves also. He says, "After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves," he says, "among them, Men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. You see, these flawed human shepherds that Christ uses in his church are not themselves above falling away from God's truth. They must have authority over them as well. And that is the Good Shepherd himself and his holy word. That's why Jesus does not command his sheep, "If you continue to follow a certain shepherd, then you are my disciples indeed and you'll know the truth." He doesn't say, "If you continue to follow a certain church body or a certain synod, then you are my disciples indeed and you will know the truth." No, he says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed and you will know the truth." May our prayer always be that in the prayer of the church, "Grant unto your church faithful pastors who shall declare your truth with power and shall live according to your will." It's a tremendous joy to be in the front line of delivering God's wonderful grace to his sheep. There's a double joy, in a sense, that comes back to those shepherds, to those under-shepherds, because the very grace that they dispense, they know they need it as well. It's that same saving word of God that we need. It's the same precious grace that saves the sheep, that saves these under-shepherds. It's the same wonderful forgiveness won by Christ that they distribute, that they need as well. And this is all done so that the sheep under their care can look at these flawed human beings and say to themselves, "If even he can have God's grace and get to heaven, so can I." Amen.